You are a one-of-a-kind masterpiece made in the image and likeness of God. So the next time the devil says, you're not worth anything, you ask him, then how come Jesus paid such a great price to get me? God is no fool. He doesn't pay $1 billion for a 25-cent item. He wouldn't do it. He paid the biggest price that's ever been paid for anything in the universe, for you and me.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hi there, everyone. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you to Your Place of Grace podcast. Today we're going to tackle a very difficult subject, and it's going to take longer than our normal 15 to 20 minute podcast. So please do hang in there with us. Today we're talking about the subject of suicide. The title of our podcast today is Do Thyself No Harm. Most everyone either knows someone or knows of someone who has been affected by suicide. It's hit them hard, very hard, and caused numerous vacuums and holes in their life. It's caused great pain and loss to many people, and I want to talk about it. If it's so much better for the child of God to be out of here, then why not just leave early? Why not just throw up your hands and quit? Why not just go and not be a burden to anyone? Well, there are several reasons why not, and very good ones. And today I want to give you three big reasons why you should not consider or even attempt to take your own life. The first reason being that the devil is lying to you about the hopelessness of your situation. You know, it was very disturbing to read that the third leading cause of death for young people in our nation between ages 15 and 24 is suicide. That doesn't have to be. It's so sad. Why does a person take his or her own life? And what happens when he or she dies? Again and again, it's connected to despair, depression, hopelessness, and pain. People have come to believe it would be better if I just go. And things will never get any better. There's no hope for me, and there's no reason for me to stay. Or people come to believe this, that, well, I'm hurting, and I just wanted to stop. They view it as a way of escape. But what happens when you die, or if you kill yourself? Is that really the end? Is that lights out? No. If you kill yourself, you're only going to come out of your body, and you're going to get a close-up look at what you just did. There was one lady who described this, and it's rare to hear this, but she became despondent and hung herself and died. She said that as soon as she was aware she was out of her body, she regretted it. She deeply regretted doing it. You know, it's different once you get out of the flesh and all the junk that's around you. You see clearly. Thank God, one of her friends came in and found her, lifted her up, used life-saving techniques, and she was revived. And that's why she's telling her story. Obviously, they got her back. She was so thankful. You could hear it in her voice and see it in her eyes. And this lady has helped numerous people not to commit suicide. But why does it happen? Why has it happened so many times? people get in pain, and the devil is a liar. He's mean and he's cruel. The Bible says, "There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." 1 Corinthians 10:13. Loved one, everything you're experiencing now, everything you're going through, has been experienced by people all over the world. But Satan is very tricky, and if you listen to him, he's trying to convince you, "Oh, you know, this pain is unbearable. It's just an unbearable pain. What you're dealing with is hopeless. Nobody knows, nobody can relate, and there's no point in you going on." Sometimes in these moments of weakness and utter desperation, a person does something they cannot take back. Now, what I want you to see in the Word as we move forward is that if people would just give God some time, they could see miracles. If you've been around a little while, like I've been, and if you've made it past age 10, 11, 12, 13, and you've made it through some things, you have a different perspective now. We now know that even though it hurts so bad, it isn't the end of the world. Just give God some time. And like I say, listen, go have an ice cream and take a nap. Seriously, if you'll just give God some time, you can see miracles. Now say this out loud with me right now. I mean it. Say this. Things can change very quickly. Things can change very quickly. I believe that lives will be spared and lengthened, and that these words will find people's hearts. The devil's devices will be revealed, and people will see what's going on, and they won't yield to suicide. In Acts 16:26, Paul and Silas had been beaten and imprisoned. Even though they weren't physically feeling wonderful, the Bible says they prayed and sang praises to God in the dark, smelly dungeon. If things are bad, do you have to get depressed and get down? You can be strong, and you can praise God in the midst of the worst stuff, can't you? They were doing it. As they were praising God, the Bible says, suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Wow. Now that's a very specific type of earthquake. Verse 27 says, "And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors are open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled." Was he right? No. I wonder how many other people have made assumptions and killed themselves when it wasn't even true. Do you know that Job was suicidal at one point? If you want to call him that. In the third chapter of Job, he kept saying, "Why? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why?" He kept saying, "Why? Why?" You have to watch out for that, dear one. When you start thinking and verbalizing it, that's an indicator that you're listening to Satan and that you're going down a wrong, dark path. If you keep talking about what you don't have and what hasn't happened and what you can't do and what they didn't do, that's negative and there's death in it. You get to the point where you're not thankful for all the things that you do have and for everything that God has done for you and is doing for you. You get to the place where you can't see anything but death and darkness and problems. And that's when the enemy will suggest, that's the only way out. It's too bad, and it will never be any better. There will never be any more hope for you. You can never get back to as good as what it used to be. Oh, dear ones, what did we say? Give God some time. Give him some time to help you. Don't take it out of his hands. And so back to our story. The keeper of the prison was ready to kill himself. This was the equivalent to taking a pistol and putting it to your head. But they didn't have pistols. They had swords. So he has his sword up against his chest or his body, and he's about to gut himself. He's about to kill himself, to cut his throat or whatever with the blade. And in verse 28, the Bible says, Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm." Is there a word in the Bible for those contemplating suicide? Is there a word for those who think it's helpless and hopeless and nothing can be done and there's only one way out? Well, the Lord says, "Do yourself no harm. Don't hurt yourself." Did God say, "Don't hurt yourself"? He said it through Paul. He said it by the Holy Spirit and had it recorded in the Bible for all generations. Don't hurt yourself. Do you think that would include doing things like cutting yourself, abusing yourself, and doing things that you know are destroying parts of your body? Say this out loud with me. Don't hurt yourself. That's right. Don't hurt yourself. He said, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." He was about to shove his sword inside his body when he heard, "We're all here." And he thinks, what? It was almost too late. Oh, dear ones, the devil is a liar. He'll tell people, "Nobody cares about you." That's a lie. He'll tell you, "You're not doing anybody any good. You're just causing everyone problems. Everyone would be better off without you." Lies, lies, lies. He'll tell you, "Oh, you're just a big mess up. You've never done anything right your whole life." Lies, dear one. Those are lies. Let's analyze this for a second. Look at this statement. "You've never done anything right in your whole life." Well, maybe you sweetened the tea just right one time. Maybe you took out the trash exactly right. There is no way that you never did anything right. You trimmed your eyebrows perfectly. Okay, there has to be something that you did right in life. Amen? So why am I saying that? Because Satan is such a liar. And when you get in this negative, "I've never done anything right, but mess everything up," when you get to thinking that way, it's a lie. You know it's a lie. So why are you repeating the devil's lie? "Oh, nobody cares about me." Hey, you know that's not true. They might not be happy with all the things you've been doing, but it doesn't mean they don't love you. Here's the truth, dear one. You are a one-of-a-kind masterpiece made in the image and likeness of God. So the next time the devil says, "You're not worth anything," you ask him, "Then how come Jesus paid such a great price to get me?" God is no fool. He doesn't pay $1 billion for a 25-cent item. He wouldn't do it. He paid the biggest price that's ever been paid for anything in the universe, for you and me. Don't you believe the devil's lies for a second. Don't you sit or lay on the bed and cry, feeling sorry for yourself. "Nobody cares. Nothing's ever right. I don't have a future. Nothing's ever going to happen for me." Well, wait, how do you know? You've only been alive for a very short time. So how much do you know about anything? Have some faith in your good, good Father God and give him some time to show you something. Give him some time to help you, to get you out, to show you what he can do. Look at the prison guard's situation. The guy has the sword up against his chest or his throat, whatever it was, and he's just about to ram it inside himself, thinking there's no hope. They'll execute me in the morning anyway, so there's no reason for me to stay around here. Everybody's gone. The prisoners are gone. I'm dead anyway. I'm a dead man. Wow. Isn't that how the devil talks? "You're a dead man anyway. Dead to everybody." No. No, 1,000 times, no. When you hear that negative talk, it is the devil. Don't you believe it. Don't listen to it. And don't yield to it. So what did Paul do? He said, do yourself no harm. We're all here. The guard replied, you are? And threw the sword down. You're here? It was pitch dark in there. Verses 29 and 30 say, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out, saying, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What if he had just been 2 seconds quicker on plunging that sword into his chest? Think about that. Verse 31 continues, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, and your house. What if he had plunged the sword? What about his family? They spoke unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his house, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. That's Acts 16, verses 31 through 30. A couple hours earlier, he had essentially had the pistol to his head with a hammer cocked. Just a few hours later, he was sitting there laughing with the man of God, with all of his family, saved and loving God and free. Look at what would have happened. Look what he would have missed if he had taken his own life in that moment of desperation and despair, if he had believed the lies that the prisoners were gone and there was no hope and that he would be executed anyway. Oh, dear ones, can't you see what's going on here? The devil is so subtle, so deceptive. He's such a liar. What do we have to do in these situations when it looks hopeless and the pain seems unbearable? You give God some time. Psalm 91, verse 14, in the God's Word translation says, because you love me, I will rescue you. Oh, do you believe that you can count on the Lord when he said, I will rescue you? He said, I will protect you because you know my name. When you call to me, I will answer you. I will be with you when you're in trouble. I will save you and honor you. I will satisfy you with a long life. I will show you how I will save you. He's not going to leave us or forsake us if you'll just give him some time. Do you believe that he will do this? He said, I'll be with you. I'll rescue you. I'll help you. I'll protect you. Let me show you how I can save you. Give me an opportunity. Let me show you. Glory to God. Why shouldn't you just check out and take your own life? Because it's never how it seems and feels. It's never as bad as the devil makes it out to be. Loved one, he's lying to you, trying to deceive you in order to destroy you, but it's not the end. It's not hopeless. Here's something else you need to know. In Acts chapter 20, Paul said, by the Spirit, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So did Paul have some challenges in his life? Did he have what you might call some low points when he was really tried and tested? Oh, yeah. Yes, he did. Paul had his moments, when he despaired of life, but he made it through. And we're going to see how he did it. He said on this occasion, I know bonds and afflictions are waiting for me there. The Spirit of God had shown him that. But did Paul say, well, my free life is behind me. My best days are gone and behind, and all I have to look forward to is beatings and jail. To depart and to be with Christ is far better than being here. No. What did Paul say? But none of these things move me. Praise God. You ought to put that phrase in your arsenal. When you feel your lowest and most stressed, what do you say? None of these things move me. You need to know the devil is trying to move you to despondency, despair, hopelessness, and helplessness, and to make you feel that you're an utter victim. But he's wrong. You're a victor. You are an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. You have victory over death itself. In verse 24, Paul says, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me." I'm not desperately clinging on to these few days of this life. This is not all there is, so that I might finish my course with joy. Not a last gasp of desperation. Finish it with joy. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And Paul said, "And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the grace of God." Hallelujah. The second reason not to take your own life is this. We all have a God-ordained course that we are supposed to follow and complete. We're not supposed to stop halfway through the course. We're supposed to find and finish our course. So say this out loud with me. I have a course. Yes. Sadly, many Christians have just wandered all over the place and have done everything under the sun except try to find out what they're supposed to be doing. But if you're alive, it's not too late to find your course. No, there's something you're supposed to be doing for the Lord. There are things in which you're supposed to be involved. You're supposed to be connected with and helping other people. And you're not supposed to quit until you finish your course. Now, you'll be tempted to quit, but doesn't the Bible talk about running your race with patience and perseverance? Oh, that's so important. There's a lot of work to be done, and everybody needs to be doing their job. If you leave early and you don't do your work, guess what? We have to do it. Don't be surprised if you do that and later on we show up at your house and say, hey, what was the idea of leaving early and not getting your work done? We had to do yours and ours too. I'm sure we'll forgive you and get past it, but you may hear from us about it. Now, some people say, well, aren't people who commit suicide lost? I don't know why you'd think that automatically. If you were saved before you committed suicide, why wouldn't you be saved after? If you were lost when you committed suicide, you'd still be lost after. People have all these ideas about it. Well, technically, yes, but if you did this and you were already dead, could you get forgiveness? Now, that's just men's foolish reasoning and thinking. If you're saved before you did it, you're saved after. And you know, why would killing yourself be that much different from killing somebody else? That's not an unpardonable sin. It's not an unforgivable sin. It's a sin, to be sure, and it's wrong. But there is no need to assume that because a person took their own life that he is automatically going to hell or that he's lost. I see no reason to assume such a thing. If you're saved before, you're saved after. Like this woman we talked about who attempted suicide by hanging described, she wasn't saying she was lost. She said that she regretted it immediately. It hit her, and she was sorry. She was so glad she got an opportunity that most people don't get, to be rescued and to come back and have a second chance at life and get it right. In 2 Corinthians 1:8, Paul said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Paul was having some moments, wasn't he? He said, we have despaired of life. So what's that mean? He didn't want to keep living. He didn't want to keep going. This is Paul we're talking about, the great apostle. I don't care who you are, how much you think you know, or how much you think you know about God. You can be pressed beyond your human limits. You can be pressed to the point where it just seems you cannot handle it. And actually, loved one, you cannot. I know a lot of people think, well, I'm strong. I can handle anything. But the truth is, anyone can be maxed out or pushed to the brink, to the point where they're tempted to despair of life. Anybody. And if you think not, then you've just never been pressed that far. But we need to learn what Paul learned, because he did not quit. Verse 9 says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead. This is victory over death, isn't it? The devil will come and say, you can't handle this. This is too much for you. You're not able to overcome it. You're not able to deal with this. And a lot of times you need to look up and say, you know, you're right. I can't. I'm not enough. But I'm not alone. I have somebody with me, and greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Praise God. There was a time when Paul pressed the Lord about helping him concerning that thing that was oppressing and vexing him. And what did the Lord tell him? My grace is sufficient for you. When he got the revelation, he said, when I am weak, that's when I am strong. When I get to the place where I have no more, that's when I tap into the Almighty. That's when something comes up inside me that's beyond me. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. You'll notice that when people get ready to commit suicide, they keep saying things like, I can't. I just can't handle this. I can't do this. I can't go on. No believer should talk like this when the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't say I can't. Maybe in yourself you can't, but through him, Christ Jesus, who strengthens you, you can. Paul went on to say in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 9 and 10, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us. Wow, this sounds like the 91st Psalm, doesn't it? Did he deliver Paul? Was he with him? Did he protect him? Did he rescue him, help him, honor him? He delivered us from so great a death, and he doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Praise God. Don't you love this? He delivers us. He delivered us. And from anything that happens in the future, he will deliver us. We're going to make it. We're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. We're not going to say it's hopeless. No, we're not helpless victims. No, we're not. When I'm weak, that's when I'll be strong. God will come up inside me. His Spirit will make me alive inside. He will help me. If you despair and pull the trigger or swallow a bottle of pills, then you take it out of God's hands and you don't give him the opportunity or time. You have no idea what you missed or what you might have been able to do to help others in time to come. Oh, dear friend, your victory is other people's victory. When you overcome, that affects lives around you. Did you know that? But if you give up and quit, that will affect lives around you too. You would not want to give up and quit and inspire three other people to commit suicide over the next 10 years. They look at you and think, well, if they couldn't make it, if they quit, I can quit. I can't make it either, so I might as well just check out too. No, You don't want to be that kind of inspiration. You want to be the kind of inspiration of the man or woman, no matter what, who wouldn't quit. You held on to God, and he turned the situation around and showed you how he could save. Then year after year, when people ask you about it, you can stand up and say, it never gets too bad for God to help you out. He will help you out of anything. I know. I felt like it. But he brought me out. So I'm glad that I didn't quit, because now I'm enjoying this. I'm loving life, and I've been part of that. And God is doing wonderful things. And I'm so thankful. Now I'm not just going in empty-handed. I'm bearing fruit. I have some fruit. I have some rewards in the next life. I'm not quitting. How about you? I'm going to run my race. And I'm going to finish my course. Praise God. That's what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4. Years after all these ordeals had transpired, Paul had been shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, betrayed. He saw some things, didn't he? But in 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, he's telling Timothy, the young minister under him, watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. Then in verse 6, he says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. They're boarding right now, and my flight is about to leave. He continues, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Glory to God. And he goes on to say, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me, but unto all them that love his appearing. That would be us, dear ones. Now, God is a faith God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, the Bible says. It is faith. If in desperation you quit, well, no, let me ask you, let me rephrase that. Is it faith if when in desperation you give up and don't try anymore and you succumb, or when you say, I'm defeated, oh, it's too late, it's all over? As soon as you get out of the body, guess who you're going to see? Is he going to be pleased with you that you quit and didn't even try? No. What pleases him? Faith pleases him. This is so much better than being cut off in midlife, robbing yourself of the remainder of years. If you have another 50 or 75 years to go, oh, dear one, it's going to pass by quickly anyway. Like telephone poles on a highway when you're going 100 miles an hour, the next thing you know, you're going to look up and it's going to be time to go anyway. So why cut it short? These days are precious days that we have. Our time on earth is very precious. Isn't it so much better to stick it out through the pain, the anguish, the desperation, and the temptations to say, no, I don't care. God has helped me before. He'll help me this time. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. I'm not going to take my own life. No, I'm not going to quit. I'm not giving up. I'm going to give him time to help me and show me. And then you make it, and it gets better and better. You get free, and then something good happens. Then something even better than that happens. There are challenges, yes, but you overcome them too. There are tests, and it hurts, but you don't quit, dear one. Then something else good happens, and then next thing you know, you get up one morning and realize, glory to God, I'm done. The time of my departure is at hand, and I can honestly say, I'm finished. I don't feel like there is more that I have to do. I have fought the good fight. I have run the good race. I have finished my course. I'm about to reach out and hit the ribbon. I am finishing my race. The next thing you know, you're out of your body. And when you meet the Lord, he will say, well done, Good job. You were faithful in a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over much. You didn't quit, but you stayed with me. And all the pain and the anguish of the earth will be like something that happened in 3 seconds, and you'll never think about it anymore. You'll have eternity to enjoy the fruits of your reward. I want you to say this, okay? Say this to see how it feels. Say it with me. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith, and I'm ready to go. Isn't that the way to do it? After you've seen it all and done it all, and you're old, and you're so old that the old people call you old, then you're out of here. Then the Lord takes you home. Why shouldn't you just end it? Why shouldn't you just take your own life? There are lots of reasons why you should not, aren't there? The devil is a liar. It's never as hopeless as it seems to be, dear one. If you just give God time, you are on a course that you're supposed to finish. You need to do it. You need to go all the way with Jesus. And finally, coming to our last point here, why should you not commit suicide? Why should you not take your own life? The third and final reason, you are not your own. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, in the easy-to-read version, the Bible says, you should know that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit that you received from God and that lives in you. You don't own yourselves. God paid a very high price to make you his. So honor God with your body. What are you going to do? Are you going to strangle it? Are you going to blow a hole in its head with a .44 Magnum? Are you going to take a bunch of pills? Are you going to cut its own wrists? Whose body is it that you could be destroying? Whose is it? You might say, well, it's my body, isn't it? Actually, it's been bought and paid for with a very high price. And before you do anything to it, you need to go to him and tell the Lord that you're thinking about doing this to his body and see what he says about it. Go to God. See what he has to say. Do you think he's ever going to give you permission to blow a hole in the head of his body? Or to cut its wrists or any such thing? No. He's going to tell you, no. Don't you dare do that to my body. I bought it. I paid for it at Calvary's cross. I'll heal it. I'll help it. I'll resurrect it. I'll transform it. But no. You don't have a right to do just anything that crosses your mind with it. It's not yours. It belongs to Jesus. Don't you think that the phrase when he said, do yourself no harm, would also include not cutting yourself or defacing yourself, maiming yourself, hurting yourself with large quantities of drugs or other kinds of things that you know are damaging and hurting you? It's not just your body. It belongs to Christ. Do you believe it? So let's take care of his body and do what he says to do with it. Sanctify it to his service. If it's sanctified to his service, he has an obligation to maintain it. Did you know that? I count on that. I say, Lord, now this body is in your service. I'm counting on you to keep it up and to keep it working until I run my whole race and finish my whole course. Dear ones, I say it frequently. This body will serve me well as long as I need it. It will serve me well. God will keep it that way. Oh, dear ones, again, you are not your own. Before you leave this world, there are some vitally important things you need to do. Death is not the end. What we do in this life affects the next life. First, are you born again? No, please do not turn me off being unsaved and dying in your sins. No, you need to know that you are saved and right with God. Second, have you finished your course? Do you know that you've done everything you're supposed to do? And thirdly, realize that you are not your own. Pray this prayer with me right now, out loud, with all your heart. Let's do it. Pray with me. Father God. Yes, out loud. Pray with me. Father God, I believe in you. I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe that he went to the cross and paid for all my sins and failures. I believe that you have raised Jesus from the dead. And Lord Jesus, I receive you and all that you have done for me. I confess you as my Savior and the Lord of my life. I am not my own, but I belong to you, Lord. As you help me, I will follow and serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So, loved ones, if you or someone you love have contemplated suicide, or you've attempted suicide, and you see the truth, just repent before the Lord. Bring it to him now. Nobody else has to hear it. Close your eyes and look up toward the Lord in your heart. Just tell him, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I repent for listening to the lies of the devil. I repent for yielding to hopelessness and helplessness. Jesus, you are greater than all, and nothing is too hard for you. So say this out loud with me, and we're going to close. Say it out loud. By the grace of God, I will not quit. By his strength in me, I won't give up. When my strength is gone, and when I'm not enough, you are with me, Lord. Your grace is sufficient for me. And when I can't in myself, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. As you help me, I will fight the good fight. I will keep the faith. I will finish my course in Jesus' name. Hallelujah and amen. Thank you for listening to this special podcast today, dear ones. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may he give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory, laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, and home. And may he grant you the greatest favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.